For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. 2 Kings chapter 2, a very familiar portion of Scripture here. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's a broad chapter, teaches many, many things. And I want to read about 15 verses in this, so I hope you'll stay right with me as we read the first 15 verses of 2 Kings chapter 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." You ever get those confused? "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here," verse 2, "I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes," or "yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." So he goes from Bethel to Jericho. And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. I've slowed down a little bit here, Rebecca. Amen. Yeah. And it says in verse 5, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha," S-H-A, "and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry," or "wait, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And in verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be done unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire," must have been quite a sight, "and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon the word of God today. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us do a work in our heart. Spirit of God, show us, Lord, where we ought to be with you today. Show us where we ought to go with you tomorrow. Lord, increase our faith. Help our church, Lord, to look to you by faith to do more for you in this new year. In Jesus' name, thank you for the good reports of these being saved. Amen. Elijah became one of two men that we have recorded in the scriptures that did not die. They went to heaven. Enoch walked with God and was not, and God took him. And then we see Elijah went up into heaven in a chariot of fire and horses and went up in a whirlwind into heaven. Two great men of God, Enoch and Elijah. As we read that, I think sometimes we kind of detach ourselves from all of that. We think, well, that was Old Testament. We think, well, that was a long time ago. These were prophets, by the way, after all. And, you know, the great thing about any great Bible story, and we ought to read the great Bible stories in the Bible. We ought to get to know them well. And as we read these great Bible stories, we ought to identify with them. But here's the thing. You and I are going to be raptured out one day. Jesus is coming. The trumpet's going to sound. We're going up. And it may be today. But we do have a connection with the same God that did this for Elijah, the same God that did this for Elisha. Elisha was about to take over the reins of leadership as prophet of Israel. Elijah knew that he was about to die, or he was about to go to heaven. He knew that his ministry was about over. Over in 1 Kings, I think it was 1 Kings chapter 19, we see Elisha was plowing with a yoke, 12 yoke of oxen. And as he was plowing those furrows and busy and no doubt was thinking about the things of God, here comes that old prophet Elijah, and he takes his mantle off, which was a sign, or it was through him wearing that, it showed that he was a prophet of God. And it was just a simple garment that when worn, they knew it was a mantle. They knew that it represented his leadership. They knew that he was a prophet. And here's Elisha over there just doing what he was called to do, just plowing and staying busy. And Elijah comes up and throws that mantle across his shoulders and doesn't say anything and just turns around and walks away. Now in 2 Kings chapter 2, we see what all that meant. And as we read these verses, it's a moving scene there. As we read these verses, I think about this and the application and all of it. But now I think Elisha is beginning to see this is what he meant. Things are getting ready to change. I'm not going to be a farmer so much anymore. My life is going to change, and God has a plan for me. And God, you know, God doesn't change his will, but sometimes he wills a change. And Elisha knew things were about to pick up in his life. And the excitement level was going to go through the roof and the challenges. And of course, we know that where there are new levels, there are always new devils. And when you change chapters in life, some of you have just gotten married. New levels, new devils. I'm not talking about your spouse. New challenges, changes, temptations. Maybe you've taken a new job. Maybe you've climbed the corporate ladder, so to speak. Maybe you've just had a baby. You're about to have your first baby. And new levels in your life, new levels. Maybe some of you have recently become a widow or a widower, new levels. And I've found this to be true, that whatever chapter we're in life, there are challenges, there are changes, and there are charges that God gives us all along the way. And all along the way, Satan is coming at us every day. The fiery darts of the devil every day come at us. Whether you're 65 or 16, they're going to be levels of temptation and battles where we just have to put on the whole armor of God every day. So things were about to change in Elisha's life. We see it all begins with a test. It was a time of preparation, a time of looking ahead to the next prophet. And I believe that Elisha passed that test pretty well. Notice here, Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they both went down to Bethel, the house of God, the God of the house of God. It was a time of preparation. And it's interesting that his preparation began with a test. You know, leaders always are looking down the road a little further than everyone else. That's what leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to do that. We always have to be looking down, further down the road, always looking into the future. Not that we have an ability as a prophet to know all of that, but just looking into the future, asking God about the future, asking God for help, asking God for open doors, asking God for unity, asking God for direction, asking God for peace. And here Elijah knows that his time as prophet of Israel is coming to an end. We talked about this in Sunday school last week. And we talked about even in ministries and churches that pastors should always be looking down the road. Always looking down the road. Always looking beyond today, beyond next week, beyond next month, beyond 10 years from now. Asking God to direct. Asking God to move those right people into place so that, like Elijah was stepping aside. When that pastor steps aside, then the next pastor is ready to go. The next pastor steps in. The next pastor is ready to lead. And there's a unity there and a time of preparation, looking ahead to the next prophet. Last Sunday, we talked about some great ministries across America that had great influence for God. Great ministries that have closed their doors simply because, and I'm not sure why, maybe these pastors did look ahead, but they did not have the right leadership lined up. They didn't have the right vision. They'd not done training. They'd not prepared those that would come behind them to take that range of leadership, and the church went completely slingshot to the left and went the other direction, and now there are real estate for sale signs in front of those ministries. I mean, what a terrible thing to happen. And so it was a time of preparation. We're always looking ahead. Grandparents are looking ahead. Parents are looking ahead. We're looking ahead in our lives. We're planting trees under which we'll never pick fruit from. We're handing off a spiritual baton to this next generation. We're handing them that baton. And so why is it that a pastor emphasizes the same things and emphasizes the Bible as the Word of God and Jesus is the Son of God and preaching is used of God and altar calls and soul winning and world missions and holy living, all of these things? Because if I don't, then what you and I make minimal, the next generation will veer to the left in a maximum way. So we're handing off the spiritual baton to these that are coming behind us. And Elijah was doing that here with Elisha. And the first thing, there was a test. It was a test in tarrying, a test in waiting. He said, "Tarry here while I go there." Well, that was a test. Elisha said, "Well, I've got some plowing to do." Well, okay. You want to go plow? You think about those 2.5 tribes on the east side of Jordan? They said, "Well, this is a great place to raise cattle. You all go and fight, Moses. We'll just settle down over here. Just give us the land." And he said, "Why should your brethren go to war and you're sitting here raising cattle?" You know? If Elisha said, "Well, I think I just want to go plow some ground, put some seed in the ground," and Elijah, he'd have known he's not really ready to take the reins of leadership. He said, "Tarry here, wait here." Elisha said, "Oh no, I'm not missing out on a thing." He said, "I'm going with you. I'm going with you." And the sons of the prophets that were and Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I'm going to Jericho." He said, "I'm going with you." Later he said, I'm going not only to Jericho and to Bethel, but he said, I'm going to the Jordan, verse 6. He said, "I'm going with you." God blesses faithfulness. God blesses steadfastness. The word steadfast over in 1 Corinthians means to stick to something, just to be stuck on something. And Elisha was saying to his mentor, he said, "I'm stuck on this. This is what God wants. I'm stuck on it. I'm steadfast. I'm going to hang on there." And it was a test in waiting, a test of tarrying. It was a test of his testimony. He said, "I'll not leave thee." I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay until the last. I want to be poured out in a gush and not a trickle. I'm going to stay till the last drop's in the bottom of the barrel. I'm not leaving. It was a test of his testimony. He said, I'm staying. I'm staying. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep studying what you've given me to study. I'm going to keep learning all the way to the end. I think when the Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. But nevertheless, he said to Timothy, he said, the cloak that I left over there in Troy, he said, bring it with you. He said, just in case, I'm ready to die and I think I'm going to heaven soon. But if I don't, I want to stay warm. He said, bring the books and especially the parchments. He said, I want to study while I'm here. He said, I don't want to quit. I want to stay with it all the way to the end. That's the way Elisha was. It was a test of his testimony. It was a test of tarrying. There's some things that you're waiting on. There's some things that you've been waiting on God about. Our testimony is always tested. All of this story rests upon this statement. He said, I will not leave thee. If Elisha had left, God would have called someone else. You know, God will use whoever's willing to be used. So it was a test. It was a test, not only of tarrying, a test of his testimony, it was a testing of trust. In verse 9, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. We'll touch on that in just a moment. Then it was a test. it was a tearful test. Notice when Elisha saw it, he cried, verse 12. He saw his mentor go up into the heavens. He maybe it was a whooshing sound, I don't know. But it must have been quite a sight. I think it happened in a matter of seconds. Just as it happened when Jesus ascended up into glory, they saw him off the Mount of Olives leave on, and they stood there with their mouths gaped open, and the angel said, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus coming again. I can see Elisha, he's standing there. He thinks he's prepared, but he's never seen anything like this. I think God prepares his very best to those that are willing to leave the choice with him. God prepares something good. God's a good God. And so it was a test that brought tears. But he knew that he was where he should be. But I want you to notice, after he passes the test and he's trusting him, notice in verse 9, it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. By the way, there was great anticipation. Everywhere he went, the sons of the prophets, they were over in the dormitory talking. You know, something big's about to happen. I hear Elijah's going into heaven. Let's follow him around. Let's see what's going to happen. And they're telling Elisha what they knew. Elisha told him, just wait. There was an anticipation there. But little did he realize what Elijah would ask him. And if he had not been there faithfully, he wouldn't have been able to respond to this question. And I believe God asks us that question. I think God asks churches that question. What are you going to do for me this year? What are you going to do in the area of missions? What are you going to do in the area of soul winning? I have a personal list of about 10 men that I'm praying over this year. I'm trying to win to God. 10 men. It's not that I'm not going to witness anybody else this year, but I'm praying over these 10 men that God would give me some of those men for His glory. I think we all ask that question. Ask. What are we going to do for missions? What about our faith promise this year? But notice in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Ask. And I wonder, was he surprised at Elisha's request? He did not hesitate. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. A double portion. He didn't hesitate. Elijah throws it out there. He says, hey, if you ask me what you'd like to have before I leave, or even after I leave, you ask and it'll be given you. Elisha didn't even hesitate. He said, I'd like to have a double portion, a double portion, a double portion of what you've got. What he had was the Spirit of God. He said, I want a double portion. He didn't ask for his name to be up in lights. He didn't ask, he didn't play any blame. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask that his name be promoted. He said, I would like to have a double portion, a double portion of the Spirit of God that obviously rests upon you, O man of God. I like what Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Oftentimes we pray for revival, and I know what that means. We all pray for revival. If we had revival, missions would take care of itself. Soul winning would take care of itself. All of that. But often we pray for revival, and we should. But revival is more than asking God for a revival. And we'll have meetings coming up in April. And I hope you're praying about that. But here's the thing. Revival doesn't come by asking God for revival. Revival is more than seeking for a revival. Revival is more of seeking God himself. Seeking God himself. That's what Elisha said. I want a double portion of the Spirit that rests upon you. I can see Elijah as he turned away. You're going to need it. You'll need it. He did not know, and I don't think he requested. I don't think it was even in his thought process that he would do twice as many miracles as his predecessor. But he did. God gave him exactly what he asked for. But more than that, he said, I want more of God. He said, I've seen Elijah preach on Mount Carmel. I've seen him challenge the priest of Baal. I've seen him as they carried water up out of that creek. And if you ever go to Mount Carmel in the Holy Land, you'll see the nearest creek is a long way off that mountain. A long way. They carried it up out of there by the barrelful. And it was during a drought. He said, do it again, do it again, do it again. They drenched the sacrifice up on Mount Carmel. And he prayed a 63-word prayer, and the fire of God fell and burned up the sacrifice, burned up the stones. You got to have a hot fire to burn up rocks. It burned up the wet wood. Elisha said, I don't care about my name. I don't care about my fame. He said, I want who you have. And until we begin to ask God, God, I want you. More than anything else, we'll never see revival. We need more of God. We don't need a movement. We need God. We need men of God. We need women of God. We need teenagers for God. Revival won't come by us asking God for a revival, but will come by us simply seeking Him. Elisha wasn't counting the miracles. He said, I want you to know that what you have, O Elisha, O man of God, Elijah, who you have is who I need. I wonder, what do people see in us when we walk out of the doors of Ripley Baptist Temple? What do people see in you? Do they see Christ in us, the hope of glory? Or do they see a critical spirit? Do they see a worldly attitude? I pray that they don't. Elisha said, without hesitation, I pray thee let a double portion of thy Spirit be upon me. A double portion. The very next thing, Elijah said, well, you've asked a hard thing. That's pretty hard. You know what Elijah said? He said, it's not mine to give. I can't give it. You've asked a hard thing. But God specializes in hard things. God specializes in hard things. God specializes in hard people. God specializes in hard families. God specializes in hard situations. God specializes. He said, you've asked a hard thing. He said, it's not mine to give, but I'll tell you this, I know someone that can give it to you, and it's God himself. This is a day of hard things. I want you to know, what's the hardest thing in your life that you're asking God about right now? There ought to be some things that you've got lined up, maybe you've not told anybody about, but you're saying, God, will you do this? Will you do this for me? He's able. Thou ask a hard thing, but it's not an impossible thing. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Our son Matt, when he was little, he used to quote that verse. He'd say, with God, nothing is immeasurable. I think God knew what he meant. Amen. Thou hast asked a hard thing. And there's that word we used the other day, nevertheless. We have a nevertheless God. But God, nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And if not, thou, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, I wonder what they talked about. They talked. I wonder what Jesus talked to those. I wonder what those Emmaus Road disciples were talking about when Jesus showed up. I don't know what they were talking about. I think they were talking about the things of God. Later they would say, our heart burned within us as he talked to us by the way. They too went on. It was a tearful test. It was a trusting test. It was a tearing test. It was a testimony test. And Elisha saw it. As they talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I don't know, but I believe that the world's not seen the last of Elijah. I think we may see him during the tribulation period. If we do see him, we'll see him from heaven because we'll not be here. I think he may be one of the two witnesses that will preach, and God will use in a mighty way on the streets of the world during the tribulation period. And Elisha, as he sees this tearfully, he gives a tribute to his spiritual father and to his earthly father, or his heavenly father. The two strongest entities he could think of was right before him. A chariot with horses and his spiritual father, the prophet Elijah, and his heavenly father in heaven. Three things. But look in verse 13. He took up the mantle. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I heard a great preacher say years ago, the question today is not necessarily where's the Lord God of Elijah, but where are the Elijahs of the Lord God? But I believe the Bible has it right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is he? Where? I do remember that. Where? Where is the Lord God? He's up there. He's where he's always been. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah been this past year? I want you to know he's right there waiting to answer. He's waiting. Listen, our nation has seen some hard things. We're seeing some hard things. And the Lord God of Elijah, there needs to be some Christians saying, oh, more than I need a stimulus check. I need God. More than I need a person. It may be the reason that Donald Trump is no longer our president. It may be that we put too much stock in Donald Trump and not enough stock in God. And it could be God's shown us some things. I don't know. I'm not God. I'll just throw that out there. I mean, we've seen fires burning up the western states last summer. Millions of acres going up in smoke. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? But in the midst of that, I've not heard many people saying, oh God, where are you in all of this? If we believe the statistics, over 500,000 people have died of COVID-related illnesses. But yet America's not been brought to her knees yet. I don't hear anybody on the news saying, oh, we need God, we need God. Say what you want to about our past president. Say what you want to about our governor. At least last year, about this time, both of them called for a national day of prayer. Both of them called for a statewide time of prayer. Yes, they're flawed. Yes, they're sinners. Yes, they do dumb things. We all do. But I'll tell you, at least they had enough gumption and grit and God on them. They said, we need God. Where is God? Where's God in all of this? As they burned the major cities to the ground, and we may see more of that in the next couple of weeks as things come to trial. People closed their businesses and lost their livelihood, lost family members. Then we saw the fires. Then we saw the ice, and we saw the snow. Now we're seeing the floods. And yet, as a nation, I don't hear, as a nation, churches, even God's people saying, "Oh, where's God? Where's God? We've got to have God in all of this." I've not seen that. I just wonder what it would take. I mean, we see a pestilence that killed over half a million people and will kill more. Now we see a socialist government. We're we see it every night on the news. Our nation is changing. The face of our nation, the faith of our nation is changing before our eyes. We're seeing it. A socialist takeover, a socialist government. And I weep for my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, if Jesus tarries. Oh, we've got to vote right in 22. No, yes, we need to vote right in 22. But yes, we need to be asking God, "God, where are you? Oh, God, we need you. Send revival. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst, give us a little reviving. God, move the wind of heaven through the mulberry bushes. God, we need to hear from you." Thousands are out of work, and now we're unplugging the policemen across our nation. Crime is through the roof in many of our major cities. And our leadership says this is the answer. The answer is, let's defund the police departments and pull all of these people off the job. Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where is He? He's where He's always been. And I'll tell you, we need Him. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He's standing there. For the first time, he's saying, "Man, this is on me now. I'm all alone now. I've got the mantle. I've got the mantle. But I need God." We've got our King James Bible, and I thank God for this Bible. But are we reading it? We've got, I believe, the right position. But is our disposition right? We've got an understanding of prophecy. We've got an understanding of salvation. We've got an understanding of the ordinances. We've got an understanding of eschatology. We've got an understanding of the Spirit of God. We've got an understanding about the virgin birth and the sinless life, the vicarious death. We've got an understanding about all of these things. But do we know God? Do we know God? Are we walking with God? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elisha, you've asked a hard thing. But I want you to know, you're going to get a double portion. Brother Mace Jackson used to say, "I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out." Well, that's where Elisha was. He took the mantle. That mantle reminded him of the prophet. Over in chapter 1 and verse 6, that mantle showed that he was the prophet. Chapter 1, verse 6, Ahaziah, a wicked king, had fallen through a lattice in his upper chamber and was about to die. They said, "You want us to send for the prophet of God?" They said, "No. No, go inquire of Baal, the god of Ekron. Go see one of these nutcases out here and let's find out what they say." Well, God heard about it. God heard about it. And he comes down to Elijah. He says, "Why don't you go up there and ask him, is there not a God in heaven that's blessed you? Is there not a God of Israel that you could go to him without going to the false god Baal?" And they said unto him, "There came a man of God to meet us." Verse 6. They came back with the news that Elijah had given them, and it was not good news. "Ahaziah, you're going to pass away. You're going to die." And they said unto him, "There came a man of God up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal as above the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Ahaziah said unto them, "What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words?" They said, "Well, he was an unusual man." They said he was a hairy man. He was a hairy man, and he wore a leather girdle. He had this funny looking mantle on. He wasn't telling any jokes, and he didn't invite us out to Wendy's for a hamburger. Then what manner of man was this? They answered him, "He was a hairy man," verse 8, "and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins." I can just see the sarcasm in his voice. He said, "It's Elisha, the Tishbite." Here he is on his deathbed. He said, "I still can't get rid of him. He's still a thorn in my side." You can read the rest of that chapter. But that mantle reminded him of the prophet of God. That mantle reminded him of the power of God. In chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground." It represented the power of God. That's why he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" It was the recognition of his greatest need. But that mantle also reminded them of the pursuit of God. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? If there's ever a time in our churches we need God here, it's today. More than ever, we need God to move. We need God to move. We need God to move. We need, I think, this passage reminds me of my greatest need is God. Whatever your task, all is vain without Him. Without Him, there's no hope for the future. But every generation needs to pick up the mantle. And that mantle represents something. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Are we going to have another year of just stay home, stay safe, social distance, wear your mask? Now, I'm not saying we should stop all of that. But I'm just saying we may have to find some different ways to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're going to share some of those ways with you in the next week or two. But God's commission has never changed. God has not changed. He's still at the right hand. He's still in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of God, whoever lives to make intercession for you and me. I want to encourage you. Go ahead and ask God for hard things. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to go to college." God's able. "I don't know how I'm going to get my marriage worked out." God's able. "I don't know how I'm going to find a job," or "I don't know how I'm going to make it in the job I'm doing now." God's able. "I don't know how I'm going to win my children to Christ." God's able. It was a hard thing because only God could grant his request. It was not his to bestow or to give, but it is ours to receive. "Call unto me," God said, "I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Oh God, I'd sure like to go beyond my faith promise this year. You've asked a hard thing, but I'm able. I'm able. You say, "Preacher, I don't know how in the world I could find enough faith to go to heaven. I just don't know." Well, I think it comes down to two things. We're either doubting ourselves or we're doubting God. Why don't you trust Him today? You say, "I don't know if I could hold out. As many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You say, "Preacher, I don't know that I could get baptized." You say, "That's a hard thing for me. I've been saved but never baptized." I want you to know, God will always give you the strength to do what He's commanded you to do. You say, "Preacher, I don't even know. It's a hard thing for me to pray. It's a hard thing for me to read my Bible. It's a hard thing for me to give. It's a hard thing for me to walk by faith. It's a hard thing for me to control my temper. It's a hard thing. We talked about the tongue in Sunday school. It's hard for me to control my tongue. It's a hard thing for me to walk by faith. It's all hard. Why don't you let God take the pressure off you? He does say, bear you one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. But I want you to know, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, I'll do it. God specializes in big requests. You know why? Because God is a big God. We have a big Bible. We're part of a big plan. It's called the Great Commission. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elijah's up there with him. Elisha's up there with him. And we're headed up there with him one day. And God is right where he's always been. And he's willing and able to answer your prayers.